And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Salutations. Welcome in to RBLR Bucks. I'm Mustav, one of your trusty navigators for tonight's voyage. The preseason storms are brewing. We're officially in the calm before the regular season hurricane. We've just navigated a major squall against the Steelers, and now we're charting a course for the final critical front against the Buffalo Bills this Saturday as our last preseason game. Tonight's agenda is packed. All right, we got everything from injury reports that feel like gale force winds to player previews that are sure to cause a flood of debate. And since a true navigator always looks ahead, we'll even dive into some fantasy talk because even with a compass, you need a good map to conquer your draft. So buckle up, Buccaneers fans. And a friendly reminder, we want to hear from you too. Seriously, whether you're on X, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, we're here for you. We want to hear from you. Drop us your hottest takes, your boldest predictions, any fantasy questions you may or may not have. Our mission is to keep you entertained, and your mission is to engage with us. But before we get to some Buccaneers forecast, I want to introduce the Storm Chasers joining me in the studio tonight. First, he's here to deliver a powerful Category 5 storm of insights on that Steelers game. He is ready to break down every single aspect, bringing in a little bit of thunder as well. Mr. Zach Blaine, what's the good word, my friend?
Man, I'm glad to be back. Working nights was kicking my butt last week, man. Baseball now has just been busy. I'm just glad to be able to relax and sit and talk some Bucks football with you guys.
Likewise. Well, welcome back, Zach. Fine, didn't mean to rhyme, but no, seriously, hey, happy to have you back. And yeah, dude, week by week, I'm getting more and more excited. I think college football actually starts this weekend. So just happy to finally see some actual real football. I mean, preseason is real football, hey, I guess, but it's just
watching the preseason.
You can't finish a game being like, oh man, that, you know, everything that happened, that really matters, you know. But no, anyways, this is not a college football show. And this is not a two-man show. Joining us in the eye of the storm, he is our calm, cool, and collected expert who can navigate the most turbulent waters. He is here to provide some razor-sharp analysis on our final preseason game, but also the recap. And that being said, Mr. Carter Brantley, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right, Mustaf. How are you?
So far, so good. As you know, Zach and I were talking about just how excited we are. And finally reached that time to, you know, get those fantasy drafts in. I got a couple leagues I'm part of, so
I got
hopefully
a few.
I win one,
right? Yeah, fingers crossed.
Or hopefully I don't get punished in any of them, you know, because I got a couple of them that, you know, were like, oh, let's make the fantasy football punishment, like, you know, a little bit more, like, you know, fun.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I think for the money leagues, I think having a punishment is OD, but for having leagues that don't have like any stakes to it otherwise, like maybe having like a light, you know, punishment, whatever, for last place is fine.
Oh, I want a tattoo for my punishment.
Eesh, yikes. Yeah. I don't think I could abide by that. I would be definitely not down with that. It's fun. It's a fun time. We'll get into some fantasy stuff at the end. I am excited for some college football this weekend. I am with you, Mousab and Zach. I am pretty stoked for that. Even if it is just like a few Big 12 games and a bunch of, you know, kind of no-name schools, that's okay. The Bucks won again. You know, they're 2-0 this preseason. They defeated the mighty Steelers this past weekend. You know, there were some really interesting performances. We finally saw Teddy Bridgewater in a Bucks uniform, which was exciting. First initial thoughts from y'all on this week two matchup, or preseason week two matchup. Was there anyone that really stood out for you? Zach, I'll kick this question to you first. Who stood out for you, or who made an impact in your mind from this week two game?
Does it have to be a good stood out?
No, it can be.
Rask stood out a ton this week.
Word.
He looked lost. He did not look like he was enjoying playing football. I think seeing Teddy play the way that he played kind of put the final nail in the Trask coffin, and I think Trask even knew it going into it because he played like he was just so bad.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think we already know from that tone what your thoughts are, but you're leaning Teddy versus Trask for quarterback too. Huh?
Oh, I mean, as soon as we signed Teddy, I was leaning Teddy Trask. Like, I, if we, God forbid, knock on wood, if Trask or if Baker goes down and Trask is our starting quarterback, our season is over. If Teddy is our starting quarterback, I think he could manage to not completely sink the ship. Like, we might not win the Super Bowl with Teddy, but we would win games with Teddy. I don't think we would win games with Kyle.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Teddy certainly has a pedigree. He's had some success in the NFL. And, you know, he seems calm, cool, and collected back there, where, like you said, Trask did not necessarily look that way. Neither are very athletic, you know, so there's there's that out the window. You know, they're both pretty statuesque, if you will, in that pocket. I don't even know if that's a word, but yeah, Trask was not great. Teddy was pretty solid. He led a couple of nice drives there. So yeah, I was impressed with Teddy as well. The offensive line was a bit like that first drive. I was like, oh goodness, Charlie Heck, please, you know, Lord help you. That wasn't great, but, they managed to put it together a little bit. Bucky had that nice catch. That was a lot of fun. But Musab, how about you? Who stood out for you in this past weekend for the Bucs?
Oof. I'll probably say, I don't want to just piggyback off of Zach, but at the end of the day, that's the really one that mattered the most, in my opinion, only because I'll tell you this, what stood out to me is that the Bucs did nothing. Well, the offense did nothing in the second, third quarter.
Right.
Well, after I wonder Teddy why, because who was that? Well, after Teddy left. So, you know, there's your answer. That's what stood out to me is the fact that we can get a guy like Teddy, like off the street. You know what I'm saying? I know he had a little short stint with the Lions. Is that what it was? But other than that, I mean, obviously, there were some serious talks before this actually happened between, you know, the Bucs, you know, staff and Teddy and all that. And at the end of the day, the fact that he kind of just picked it up and, you know, did a pretty damn good job for someone, you know, who hasn't, you know, played in a while, you know, for someone who's just new to the team. So that's what stood out to me. Other than that, though, just, you know, it's just a fight for the backups. I did like seeing, you know, first of all, that Igbuka catch was, you know, real sick. And I think really cool. I think what stood out to me now after the game was the fact how important depth is at the wide receiver position, especially, you know, with what we saw with Jalen McMillan's injury. So I guess maybe that Igbuka pick wasn't so bad after all. I don't think I don't remember, you know, crapping on it too much, but I do remember, like, me saying, like, what? I know a lot of people were like, what?
So I crap on it.
Yeah, in hindsight, now that everything has played out the way it has, it's, you know, it's kind of saving them a little bit. You know, unfortunately, it's taken injuries for the pick to become, like, important, but, you know, really important. But yeah, I don't know. It was definitely really nice to see him get that first touchdown. And it was a really good catch. It was a really nice route too. It was cool all the way around. But yeah, like you mentioned, I kind of tried to bury the bad news a little bit, but yeah, J-Mac is going to be out, apparently at least until week 9. He's getting put on IR with a neck injury. It was pretty scary. Thankfully it's a little bit, you know, a little bit less severe than I think people thought than it could have been, for sure. Zach, I know you were super critical of the Igbuka pick, so I wanted to throw this at you. Does this injury kind of change your perception of it? Or are you still kind of like, ugh, like even if it takes this, you know, if it takes two injuries for the Bucs to have to make sense of their first round pick, then it probably wasn't a very good pick.
How many injuries did we have last year?
Evans and Godwin missed.
Evans and Godwin both went down. Jalen McMillan missed time. And we still did pretty damn good.
That's true.
Baker had the most passing yards he's ever had in his career. For sure. So with that being said, I still think that we could have gone a different direction in round one. I don't hate Igbuka. To me, the pick is still like, there was bigger holes to fill and we took the best available. I do think he was probably the best available player, but I don't think it filled the needs that we had, even if Godwin misses time. So now we're just down our second and third receiver instead of our first and second from last year.
Right.
And we brought everyone else back essentially. So, Yeah, I don't know. I'm still not fond of the pick.
Fair enough. Fair enough. It is nice, at least, that, you know, there won't be any drop. Like, Evans and Ibuka is still a very good duo. And now it keeps Kate Otten as sort of the third option instead of kind of thrusting him up until like the second or even the first option, which he was for a little bit last year, which was fine for a few games. But it is nice that the Bucks sort of had this, I don't want to call it insurance, because I think Ibuka was probably going to play a little bit more than we're giving him credit for anyways. But now it's definitely like, oh, yeah, this guy's going to get some targets too. So it does make the pick a little bit nicer in the short term. I think the long term, the long game, I think it might come back around to being a solid pick, but you know, these things take time. It's not an immediate return on investment type of thing with these first round picks all the time. So we'll see. I'm with you. It's still confusing. It's still a bit weird, but it is nice. You know, it's a luxury for sure. Now that J-Mac is out, it kind of slides the wide receiver depth a little bit more forward. I wanted to ask you, because there were some question marks about who was going to make the wide receiver five or six spot, depending on how many they carry. But, you know, in your mind, who's competing for those final wide receiver spots, or is there someone that maybe people aren't necessarily thinking of for those spots?
As of right now, I'll probably go, I'm leaning Trey Palmer. I feel like he's fighting for a spot. And I just feel like, you know, with the familiarity he has, and I feel like, you know, is he going to be used as much as we like him or he would like to? I don't know about that, but I feel like he's definitely fighting for a spot indeed.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like him, Sterling, and Tez Johnson. And then I think Ryan Miller might have snuck into the conversation a little bit with that week one performance. But So it's going to be real interesting. I do think that those four guys are going to have some work to do this upcoming week to not only fight for just a roster spot, but also maybe fight for a little bit of playing time, you know, because that wide receiver three spot could potentially be open with Godwin maybe missing some time. So I know Shepard has the drop reel from last year. Everyone loves to bring those up. And yeah, absolutely. But he is the veteran of the group. You know, he's got some experience with Baker from their time at Oklahoma. So who knows? Maybe he has an edge. Maybe he doesn't. But Zach, how about you, man? What are your thoughts on these kind of the lower end of the depth chart for the wide receiver? What are your thoughts on those guys fighting it out?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Tez Johnson always had a spot on the team as a special team guy. But I think that this just pushed him up into, I think the third wide receiver battle is going to be between Tez and Shepard. I do think Shepard will end up winning it. This is obviously with Godwin missing time, which is kind of the part that annoys me the most, is there's been no real update on Godwin. Like, this whole being in the dark thing with it is annoying as hell, because if he's out, like, that's fine, but that kind of changes things a little bit. Like, I think, let's say Godwin misses the first 4 weeks, I think that Tez and Shepard are going to be the guys that step up. And I do think that this makes Trey Palmer safe as well, because I don't think he was making the team without J-Mac getting hurt.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So you had Shepard and Tez over Trey Palmer. That's interesting. I agree with you. I definitely think Tez, with his special teams ability, especially with this, I was really impressed with a lot of his, I mean, he's always been a shifty kind of gadget type of player, but you know, to what extent he was going to be able to do that in the NFL, I think was kind of up in the air. And obviously playing against backups, like starters, are definitely going to be a different breed, but he showed a lot of shiftiness, and it's kind of something that the Bucks haven't necessarily had on their offensive side.
Exactly.
Like Evans and Godwin, very, very good elite wide receivers, but very physical, you know, very much like after they catch the ball, they're kind of done. Like, they're not doing too much with Yak, which isn't a bad thing, because, you know, they catch the ball 20 or 25 yards downfield. But yeah, he definitely brings a different skill set to the table in regards to this wide receiver room. So I'm really excited to see what he can do.
I think Trey Palmer could be the best receiver of the three.
Really? Okay.
If he got, like, legit playing time.
Okay.
And I don't think he'll ever get that in Tampa. And as much as I think he would have been one of the first guys traded, before the 53-man cutdown, because there's a lot of teams that could use a Trey Palmer on their team.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, Tampa's so deep right now at wide receiver that he's just not going to get that time. I think if you give him consistent playing time, he could be the best of those three. But right now what Tampa needs is a Tez Johnson and Sterling Shepard. I mean, he's just kind of – that's Baker's boy. Like,
right.
I think he'll have a spot on the team as long as he wants to play.
Yeah, he's kind of a safety blanket.
Little like buddy ball.
Exactly.
That's right. He's the emotional support mid wide receiver.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, the James Jones of the Miami Heat era. But you know, this time Baker Mayfield's LeBron James, and I guess Sterling Shepard's James Jones. That's kind of insulting to both of them, but that's okay. So I wanted to get into some kind of more higher up around the roster type of conversations. Talking about some 53-man predictions, cuts. Like, are there any? Maybe any battles that y'all are looking at? I know the safety room has kind of opened up even more. It was always kind of an interesting competition, but J.J. Roberts, unfortunately, getting banged up, and he's going to miss the season, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, which really sucks. Yep. Yeah, really sucks. Like, he was on track to be not a significant starter or anything, but, you know, he would have been a really important depth piece, I think, for this team. But unfortunately, just didn't work out that way. So are there any other battles maybe you're looking at other than the safety room, or maybe you're focusing in on the safety room? Zach, I'll start with you, man. What are your thoughts on some position battles for that, for these 53 men?
Yeah, I mean, I'm locked in on the safety room right now. I'm higher on Shiloh Sanders than I think anyone else is. I think that he could be a really, really, really good safety in the league. And I was not high on J.J. Roberts. I know he's had a good offseason, a good training camp up until he got hurt, but I just wasn't impressed with his film in college or anything, if I'm being honest. So the other guy who is, I think, could make a run is the middle. It's Nick something, the linebacker.
Nick Jackson. Yeah.
Yeah, Nick Jackson out of Iowa. Yeah, yeah. Iowa,
yeah.
He had a big time game. Yeah, yeah.
He, I think, is making a push to be on this roster. And I love to see it. Whose spot is he going to take? I don't know.
Right.
But he's playing really, really well, and I would love to see him in a Tampa jersey come 53-man roster time.
Yeah, I mean, that interior linebacker room is kind of, I don't want to say set, but I think Walker.
Four of them are set.
Yeah, I think three of them are set. But, you know, the Bucs could very, very easily carry four. I think, you know, carrying four interior linebackers is
I think they're already going to carry four. I think you're going to have Servacie, Levante, Deion Jones, and Anthony.
Oh, you think Deion's a lock? Okay, interesting.
I do, yeah. I mean, they brought him back for a reason.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's a great point.
So I think he's a lock. I think keeping five is insane, but if Nick Jackson can play special teams or – shift over to more of an edge. I don't think he could, but if he could.
Right. I do think the special teams piece of it plays pretty, it looms pretty large, because I think Deion Jones, you know, he's a bit up there in age compared to the other guys. Not saying he's old or anything, because I'm not really that much younger than Deion Jones at this point, but, you know, he's definitely, I think would be a little less willing or a little less eager to play special teams than Nick Jackson would be. So yeah, five linebackers, kind of a lot, but at the same time, if Nick Jackson, like you said, provides that special teams versatility, I think that would play really, really big in his ability to make this roster. But I think another position that I'm looking at is center. I'm really intrigued by Jake Majors, right? That's his name.
Yeah.
Lord. Yep. Yeah. Drafted free agent out of Texas. Right. Yeah. Because, man, Suo Peta doesn't really – I don't know. From
when did he even switch to center?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Jake Majors is just a bona fide backup center who can just go in there. If Graham Barton gets hurt, you know, Jake Majors is there. So I do think he's a lock for the practice squad. I'd be really interested to see if they maybe introduce him to the 53-man too.
I thought – in my mind, he's a lock for the 53-man.
Really? I hope so. I'm really intrigued. But they seem to value that positional versatility, which maybe Jake Majors can slide to guard or not. But they seem to be really, really high on a lot of the other guys like Michael Jordan and Suo Peta and those other dudes. But Musab, how about you? Are there any positions that you're looking at for this 53-man roster? And you're like, maybe there's some question marks there.
No, I think, you know, what y'all have mentioned, yeah, looking at the linebackers and the safeties, and it's going to be fun because I feel like, yeah, I mean, I'm rocking with Shiloh as well. I feel like, you know, we got to give the kid a chance. But even with the linebacker room, yeah, I'm thinking you got to go. I would like to go five. I love what I've seen so far from Nick Jackson. I knew nothing about this guy, and he's, you know, he's made a name for himself already just with both of these preseason games. So, offensive side, though, I mean, yeah, I'm curious to see, you know, what we're going to be doing with our offensive line. I feel like we have already a good idea with the rest of our offensive weapons, but yeah, I mean, I'm leaning more with Zach with, you know, getting Jake Majors on our 53 man.
Yeah.
But then again, as you mentioned with the versatility, yeah, they might be actually going that route. Even just, you know, having, for example, just one example that we saw, Elijah Klein at center, you know, that first game. You know, so they're still testing it out, you know what I'm saying? And I feel like, again, they're gonna use this third game as kind of a, you know, another way just to test out the backup, you know, offensive linemen, you know, seeing you know, what's working, not gonna work. Cause yeah, there's a couple of guys that I feel like have a chance even making a practice squad. So
for sure,
we'll see.
Yeah, it's tough because, you know, I think Majors is sort of locked into that center spot, and having a backup offensive lineman that can only play one spot, it can be a bit tough. But at the same time, like, you know, if Graham Barton goes down, Jake Majors just steps right in and there's no issue. There's no question mark. There's no, oh, well, you know, is he playing out of position? Like, nope, this is what he does.
I think it all depends on how much better he is at that center position than the other best center, you know?
Of course.
Like, if you have a versatile guy who's worst position is center, I would take a guy who can play good center over a guy who's a good guard but plays decent center, if that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, it's just about that gap, like you said. If it's significant, then maybe it does.
Exactly. It would have to be significant, in my opinion, to see
get
placed there that can only play center. Yeah.
Yeah, totally agree. And that was always the big argument with Hainsey, why he was still a valuable backup, even though, you know, his level of play maybe wasn't as much as good as we would have hoped, but he could play guard and center at a pretty reasonable level for a backup interior offensive lineman.
Yeah.
But if you're looking for a backup wardrobe option and you're just looking at your options and you're like, wow, I could really use a Jake Majors right now, like, definitely head to shop.rblrsports.com. We've got some really great Tampa Bay sports related stuff. Mr. Musab Tariq is rocking it. Show it to us. He's our fashion model for this week. He's always rocking it. He's always rocking RBLR, but we'll give you a promo code to celebrate that Bucks are 2-0 in the preseason. Promo code is Cannon, CANNONS. Type it in, get 10% off your entire order. We'd really appreciate it. So now we're getting into the second half of our episode. We talked a lot about, you know, the preseason and the 53-man roster and all this Bucks specific stuff, but let's talk about some fantasy football, because I know that some drafts are getting started this weekend with the final games coming in, and, you know, hopefully, knock on wood, injuries slowing down a little bit. So people are a little bit more reticent to, you know, start up those fantasy drafts. So I want to just talk about it because, you know, there's some really fun takes. There's all those memes about the, you know, oh, I told you guys to draft XYZ, and so here are some more, you know. That whole meme has been kind of funny, but I wanted to start first with a Bucks focused view of fantasy football. In y'all's mind, and this can, you can take this however you want it, whether it's value, whether it's, you know, actual volume, whether, you know, whatever, wherever you want to take this, but who's the best non-Bucky Irving Buck fantasy player? Because if we all just answered Bucky Irving, then it'd be boring, because unfortunately Bucky's kind of the obvious answer right here. But Zach, I'll throw this to you because I think I already know the answer, because you're the president of his fan club. But who's the best non-Bucky Buccaneer fantasy player?
Definitely Amika Egbuka. Baker Mayfield. I think that I want to say Mike Evans, but he's more of a yardage guy, not necessarily touchdown guy. Don't get me wrong. He has games where, like, he'll get double-digit touchdowns. But I think that Baker is the biggest impact player on a team, on a fantasy team anyway. And if, let's say, he regresses a little bit in both the good and bad, like we were talking about before the show, I think that – he's still going to be a top 5, top 10 fantasy QB next season.
Yeah, easily. No, yeah, 100%. And the value there is pretty high too, because I think
if you get him in the late rounds, I wouldn't be shocked if he's not a
he's
round six or seven guy, honestly.
Yeah, he's not an Allen, a Burrow, a Jackson. He's not exactly flashy. And even Jalen Hurts might get picked over him just because, Super Bowl winning quarterback. I mean, it depends on the league you're in. If you're in like a family league with some people that, you know, no offense, don't know ball, then they might pick Jalen Hurts over Baker Mayfield because they say, he's a winning quarterback, and, you know, winning and fantasy don't always mix and correlate. But, he was a really good fantasy quarterback last year, and I have no doubt that he can be quite good again this year. So for a value add, I do think Baker is definitely up there for sure. I mean, you know, he's their starting quarterback and
exactly
pretty good one. So it's hard to argue with that. I know you joked about it, and don't hate me for this, but I genuinely do think Emeka Ogbuka is a pretty fun. Hear me out. Godwin's going to be out for the first few weeks, and Mike Evans is great, and he's going to get a lot of targets. But there's got to be a second option. And I do think Emeka Ogbuka is good enough to be that number two option, especially because people are going to be uneasy about it with Chris Godwin coming back. If he falls a little bit in the mid to late rounds, Ogbuka is not a bad value pick, especially if you're trying to kind of sneak a little depth into your roster. Maybe don't start him, but I don't know. Like, he's not better than Baker. I'm not saying all that. But in terms of value, I think Emeka could be a sneaky good pick for a lot of people. But I know that's blasphemy. I know you're
– Oh, no. I mean, if he's available in the last round, yeah, I'll
– that one. Come on now.
Oh, man.
I don't think you get a kicker, dude. How often have you seen Tampa take a rookie wide receiver and put up big numbers with him?
Mike Evans.
Okay, Mike Evans is a Hall of Fame player, brother. That doesn't count.
This is what we'd be saying about Mike Evans when he was a rookie. You'd probably say, you know, we'd say another Bucs legend, and you'd probably say, well, Mike Evans isn't XYZ. So
listen, Ogbuka was never the number one receiver on his college team. Like, I don't think he's going to come in and be a number one receiver in fantasy. Like, that's I'm not high on rookie wide receivers in any fantasy league.
Oh, I don't know. Brian Thomas and Malik Neighbors, I don't know, man. They were
I don't know, man.
Brian Thomas did really good, but what else did Jacksonville have?
For sure, but like, that's kind of the point. You know, you're not drafting necessarily a guy that's, you know, elite like Brian Thomas. Also, Brian Thomas Jr., great wide receiver. Like, let's not.
Oh, 100%. I'm not talking bad on him. Great receiver. Right.
But like,
when you're the clear cut number one receiver on a bad team, yeah, you're gonna put up numbers
for sure. But that's kind of what goes into fantasy, right? Is you're drafting a guy's situation as well. You're not just drafting the player.
That's what I'm saying. I think that you're going to have Kate Otten that's going to take targets away from him. You're going to have Bucky Irving taking targets away from him.
Sure.
You're going to have Mike Evans taking targets away from him.
But here's the thing. Last season, Chris Godwin got off to like an insane start. Like, Chris Godwin, one of the best fantasy football receivers in the NFL last year for those first seven games.
Yeah.
For sure. So him and Mike Evans coexisted, and Godwin took a step up. I'm not saying Ogbuka is as good as Godwin, but also, like, we weren't really high on Godwin last year, and he turned out to be great. I think that Ogbuka can line up in the slot with Mike Evans on the outside with Godwin out, and Ogbuka can be incredibly productive. Like, he will be Baker's best friend, arguably. So I do think that there's a lot of upside, because Baker targeted Godwin a lot last year and they had a lot of success with it. Like, it is not a bad thing. Like, I'm not saying, it was a stupid Baker throwing to Godwin. Like, no, he was open. Like, it was great. Like, it was awesome. Like,
that's fair. I don't discredit that at all, but rookie's got a lot to live up to.
I feel you. I don't know. I'm not saying he's going to be a wide receiver one. I'm not saying
you got to earn your stripes with Zach. Yeah,
that's facts. You got to earn your stripes with Zach. But Mustafa, how about Zach. You, man? Who's your best Bucks fantasy?
I mean,
player?
First of all, I'm rocking with Baker. I totally understand why you would say Ogbuka. I mean, because other than Ogbuka and Baker, I would probably just say Mike Evans.
Right.
I honestly can't think of anyone else, and I wouldn't even think about our tight ends. Even if Kate Otten was available and Ogbuka were both available in the last round, I would take Ogbuka. So
easily.
Yeah, but...
But I do think Otten has a lot of value as a backup tight end. Like, I think, like, I'm not trying to crap on Otten at all. He's a very good, like, bench tight end. Like, hey, start him in the bye week or if someone gets hurt. I think he's a very reputable backup tight end. But
what about Bucs defense? Any thoughts
on picking up? In hell, brother.
Yeah, no, I think they'll be better than they were last year, but still
they'll be better than last, but
right, but still not roster. Still not.
I forgot how they were on fantasy. I don't think they. I mean, I imagine they didn't do well. They were last year really on fantasy, low. I'm forgetting.
Yeah,
really low. And Todd Bowles is still coaching defense, so I'm not taking them.
Well, last year they didn't have Nick Jackson, Warren Peoples, Shiloh Sanders.
That's facts. Who's the new D. Delaney that we were talking about last week, Musab?
Adam Costas. He's a legend.
They didn't have Adam Costas. He's the man.
Yeah,
they did have him, though.
I think they actually did have him last year.
Yeah,
my narrative is completely falling apart.
Okay. You know, sad part about Adam Godsis is that he's honestly not going to have, like, any sort of impact at all. I don't think we're even going to hear the name Adam Godsis out of the commentator's mouth. See, the beauty about Dee Delaney and Tyreek Funderburk is that they were actually mentioned on TV. So, but, I mean, hey, Adam Godsis, I mean, if you're hearing this, man, I hope, you know, do some damage out there if you know, get the opportunity.
Yeah, you know, I'll be honest. I hope he doesn't because I don't want the opportunity for him to come in. I don't want to have to get to that point, brother.
But that's right. What if we're running over the Falcons or something? You know, we're having a field day.
And Adam Gostis gets a sack of Michael.
No, Larry Foote's like, you know what, Adam, go have some fun out there, kid.
That's right. Adam Gostis, he's the man. He's the RBLR avatar this year. Heck yeah.
Well, I feel like it might have to be a DB, though, but there's not really any.
Yeah, there's none that stand out. You know, it's kind of like
Kendall Vildor is just a legendary name, but
what's that?
Kendall Vildor.
Oh, Kendall Vildor. Oh, goodness. Poor guy. It's all good. Oh, man, we were talking about fantasy and we ended up talking about Adam Gostis. It just always returns to him. You know, it always comes, all roads lead to Adam Gostis. So I know I brought up Emeka Ibuka as sort of maybe a rookie sleeper, but are there any other rookies around the NFL? That y'all are looking at and thinking, oh man, like this guy could maybe sneak some value here. I know the Commanders running back has kind of become a meme. I forget his name. Zach, you might know it. He's taking Brian Robinson's job. He's got a hyphenated name. I forget. Let me look it up. But I know he's a really popular pick because Brian Robinson's on the trading or the chopping block. Like they're potentially going to get rid of him.
Corey Kroski Merritt.
Yes, that's right. I've seen a bunch of memes about him, like people are picking him first overall or something.
He's a rookie.
Yes, yeah,
he's a rookie.
Yeah, I believe he's a rookie. He played at Arizona this past year. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He was a seventh round pick. He's not super high profile or anything. I wanted to hear y'all's thoughts on any rookies that y'all are thinking about maybe picking in your fantasy drafts. Zach, I'll start with you, man. What rookies are you thinking? I know you just took a long time to crap on rookies, but are there any guys you're picking?
Ashton Jeanty.
Okay,
best player on a bad team.
Sure.
Believe it or not, I know this is not a best player on a bad team situation, but I like RJ Harvey in Denver. And maybe with Najee Harris missing time in the beginning of the year with his eye or whatever the hell it is. Omarion Hampton
in LA.
Mm-hmm. I think that those are three guys that could put up if they're starting with obviously Jeanty will be starting. RJ Harvey probably not starting right away, but I think we'll get the chance to start. Omarion Hampton, I don't follow too much on the Chargers, but I do think that those are three guys that if they're given the chance could produce really high number, obviously Jeanty being number one there.
Yeah, I mean Jeanty's kind of I think Jeanty's probably going to go first round in some.
If he's available in my first round pick, unless I get like pick number one, pick one round one, I'll probably be taking Jeanty round one in my drafts.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean Trevion Henderson's probably a guy that pops up for me for the Patriots. He's probably my favorite rookie running back, honestly, in terms of value. Like, obviously, I think Jeanty's going to get the volume and it's going to be the best. But not, you know, Genty's going to, like we said, Genty's going to go round one in some leagues. So, you know, you're spending a first round pick. Trevion Henderson probably wouldn't have to spend a first, second, third, maybe not even a fourth round pick on him. Although who knows, maybe other leagues value. I haven't paid attention to the average draft position of him, but
I haven't either.
Yeah. He's definitely a fun rookie that I'm thinking about. But Musab, how about you, man? Do you have any rookie fantasy players that you're looking at for your fantasy draft?
Man, I was going to, man, you took Trevion Henderson from me, man. I'm excited about. I mean, again, yeah, Ash and Genty, how can you not be? I'm not going to lie. I hope Cameron Ward does well, man. I got my eye on Cam Ward. I'm not going to be like, oh, this guy's definitely, you know, going to be my starter. I'm going to rely on this guy and he's going to lead me to the championship. But I got my eye on him. If he's available in the later rounds, for sure.
Definitely he's definitely worth being your QB2. Like, he's definitely worth.
Yeah. Oh yeah, man.
100%.
For sure.
Another name I'm really interested in to see how he gets incorporated into a very tumultuous offense right now is Tyler Warren for the Colts out of Penn State. Cause I mean, they've got Michael Pittman, who's great. You know, I really like Michael Pittman, but after that gets real thin. So, you know, maybe Tyler Warren becomes the Darren Waller for Daniel Jones in Indianapolis. I don't know. Indianapolis is just such a mess that I'm kind of, you know, hesitant to even pick up
anyone. I wouldn't take anybody on any team that has Daniel Jones as their starting quarterback.
Yeah, right. That's the thing. Tough. Like, you're picking a guy that was a round one tight end, a very good player, but man, you're relying on Daniel Jones to get him the ball, which might be a bit of a tall order. So, I don't know. Tyler Warren, definitely kind of an interesting backup tight end option for sure. But maybe he creeps into the starting tight end spot if he has a good enough season, if Daniel Jones can manage not to be Daniel Jones. But we'll see. Are there any guys that you're hearing that people are really high on that you're kind of like, I don't know, like Musab, I want to start with you, man. Are there any guys that you're thinking about that other people are like banging the table for and you're kind of like, let me stay away from them? Who comes to your mind when you hear that?
Oof. This one might be a little, I don't know if I only heard from just a couple of my buddies and I was kind of just like, let's see, man. Let's see. And that's Marvin Harrison Jr. from the Cardinals. I just feel like there's just a lot going on over there. I mean, you got James Conner, who's their bell cow. Even got Trey McBride, who's, you know, going to be also a big target as well. So, I don't know. I mean, I just feel like, you know, there's a lot that can happen. And I don't know. I just feel like, you know, for me personally, I got to hold my horses. Cause I mean, I know, hey, his dad was an absolute legend. So I feel like some people are kind of hoping he lives up to his dad's name and he balls out. So we'll see. But that was just one guy in my mind. I don't know too many people that people are high on that I don't think will succeed, but I don't know. Zach, who's your guy?
I got two. Christian McCaffrey.
Okay.
I know a lot of people like him. They're going to take him early. That is not a dig on him as a player. It's a dig on him as a healthy player.
Right.
Because a dig on his injury. He misses time every single season at this point.
Right.
And then my other one is Patrick Mahomes. He was not good last year at fantasy-wise. Yeah. He had good games, but a majority of time he was not great. So I know those are both players that people are going to take early, and it's not somebody that I would take early. If they were around round four, then I would consider it, depending on what kind of league you're in. But I wouldn't take them first two rounds at all. Without a doubt, wouldn't take them first two rounds.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, especially on Mahomes. Mahomes is kind of entering that, like, Brady Patriots era category where, like, he's obviously pretty clearly one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL in reality, but in terms of like fantasy value, you're kind of like, kind of take or leave it. His performance on the field definitely exceeds fantasy value for
100%.
Sure. And McCaffrey, it's tough with him. I'm with you. I you can't count on him to stay healthy. But at the same time, if he does, like, that 49ers running back room is just so desolate. It's just like,
yeah,
they have no one else.
They let Jordan Mason go. There's nobody there now.
Yeah, it's really tough. So, but then again, you know, Kyle Shanahan can turn seemingly any guy, any running back into a successful player, which is weird. But, you know, it's that, that outside zone scheme that just is so dang successful. So I don't know. Yeah, I'm definitely a little bit mixed bag on McCaffrey, but definitely out on Mahomes. I'm with you. Yeah, I think I don't know. Like Musab said, there are a lot of people that are really high on players, and I'm kind of like, yeah, that makes sense. I don't know that there's too many players that I'm kind of buying low on. Maybe this is gonna kind of lead into who my favorite fantasy player is. I'm a little bit lower on Davante Adams than I think a lot of other people are, but that has more to do with the fact that I think Puka Nacua might be in contention for wide receiver one this season. Like, I know Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson are pretty clearly like wide receiver 1A, 1B in terms of fantasy value, but I think Puka Nacua sneaks up there and might grab that spot, especially if Stafford manages to stay healthy, which that's a big question, which is sort of why I'm a little bit
healthy now.
right, exactly. I'm a little bit less a little bit more hesitant with Puka than I was before the Matthew Stafford stuff. So I don't know. I am very high on Puka still, but because he just had such a great year last year, and he's just one of, like, if he's healthy, he's one of the most talented wide receivers in the NFL pretty easily. So, yeah, I'm pretty high on Puka. But, yeah, Devontae, I think he'll be okay, but I do think that Puka kind of steals the lion's share of the targets there. But first overall, I did want to get y'all's, just before we log off because we're nearing the end of our episode, first overall pick, if you get in one of your leagues, you know, round one, pick one. Who you taking, Musab? Who you got? Round one, pick one. Who you got?
I'll probably just be safe and just get Jamar Chase.
Oh, okay. So over
Justin. Can you not? Interesting. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would go over Justin Jefferson. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm with you, because Justin Jefferson has proved that he can be one of the best wide receivers in football, no matter who's under center. But it's still, you know, J.J. McCarthy, bit of a question mark for sure. Yeah. Jordan Addison's also very good, so it's no longer the Justin Jefferson show. But so I'd probably go Jamar Chase as well. But man, that's a really hard decision. Like, it's not a decision I make with like full throat, like, oh yeah, you know, Jamar Chase over Justin Jefferson. But Zach, are you maybe going to be the lone dissent man, or are you sticking with, are you Jamar Chase more first overall?
I think we're going to take Baker Mayfield number one overall. realistically, that's right, Hazel. Realistically, I would, if I got one of one, I would probably take, oh God, I don't know, because I really like Justin Jefferson. I think he's a lock to be a first rounder, even with McCarthy. But I also really, this is going to sound crazy, I really like Brock Bowers with Geno Smith being his I would highly consider it, because I do think he's going to be tight end one in fantasy this year.
Very easily. And the gap between him and tight end two is
exactly.
By far the widest out of any position. So yeah, no, that's interesting. I don't know if I'd be that bold, but that's definitely a really interesting strategy. And I'm sure Brock Bowers is going to go round one in certain leagues because of that. I don't know about first overall. That's definitely bold, but
yeah, it's that's why I'm saying it would hurt. I think if I did that, I would, until I won the whole thing, I would question myself every single week, like legitimately.
That's a fair point. Yeah, I feel you. It's definitely a risky move, but it's also a bold one, and it could win you a league if you play your cards right. But we really appreciate y'all for tuning in. We're nearing the end of our episode. Hope you all enjoyed our takes. If you enjoyed it enough, you can hit that like, hit that subscribe button. We'd really appreciate it. Also, give us a follow at RBLR Sports or at RBLR Bucks. We have got some wonderful content coming across the platform. And we're going to be back next week. The Bucks are finishing up the preseason this weekend against the Bills. Figured I'd drop that in there because I don't think we brought it up once, but, you know, it's preseason. So we'll see you next week, and we'll be previewing the season, talking about some you know, future Bucks stuff, how they're going to play and all that stuff. So definitely stick around. Stick with us. We'll be back next week. But until then, and as always,
go Bucks. Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.